Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, June 26th, 2021. Pastor John Melke.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
I pray that God, the God of faith and hope, fills you with all complete joy and peace because you trust in him. And as a result, you'll be blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Adam Timmerman read our scripture lessons for us this morning, we noted clearly that God's people need to trust him. Whether it was Job, the disciples, or the Apostle Paul, trust is really our focus for today. I asked the Lord to bring my spouse to church after he or she comes to faith in Jesus for the first time as an adult. No answer. I asked that the Lord would bring my child back to church. For a long time, he's been missing from church. No answer. I asked the Lord to bless my marriage. Still no answer. I asked the Lord God to take care of my disease, my heartache, and my hardships. They keep on coming day after day after day. They don't go away. No answer. Where is God? Is he here? Is he listening to me? Is he hearing my prayers? Is he mad at me? Does he not care about me? What's going on here? I see people around me who seem to have it a lot better than I do, and I'm a Christian. Or their prayers are getting answered, but not mine. It's not fair. As you take a look at Job's words, or the words of our God from Job chapter 38, we are reminded of one simple fact. Despite all those complaining that goes on in God's people's hearts today, the question has to be asked, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are that you can judge me based on what's going on in your life? It's easy for us to judge God's words and actions. It's easy for us to judge what God says in his word when we see the opposite happen in our lives. Who do you say I am? Well, the Lord says, who do you think you are? As we find out in Job's story, as you well know, perhaps from memory, Job was a very rich man, very successful man, very highly regarded man in his day. He showed his love to his God with all his heart, soul, and mind. Things were going great, and then all in an instant, things were taken away from him. You well know the story. In one day, he lost 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 oxen, 500 donkeys, and his servants were all killed as well. And in a flash, in an instant, unexpectedly, all 10 of his children die in a freak storm. And in time, Job also faces hardship as he endures boils from head to toe. In a short time, Job loses everything. Everything seems to be lost. It's so bad that his wife says, just curse God and die. And yet Job says those familiar words to us. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be blessed. So Job was not giving up hope. No matter what kind of issues were facing him, his trust in his God was firm and constant. Then his three friends show up. Those three friends that said, Job, you must have done something terribly wrong. You need to repent of that sin and change your way. You need to have a change of heart. So Job knew that he was a sinner. He was not a perfect human being. He was a sinner as well, but he also realized he had not committed one particular sin, which was causing all these heartaches in his life. That was not the problem. So he disregarded the advice of his friends. But then Job began to question God. In time, Job began to ask the Lord, who do you think you are? Why are you letting these bad things happen to me? It's not fair. And that's where we get to the words of our text. As we hear these words again, ask yourself the question, will you stand firm in your trust in your Lord despite your losses in life? Will you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind despite the fact that he doesn't seem to answer all of your prayers? Is it possible that you're going to lose sight of God's plan for you because you don't see an answer that he's given you? Well, God says to us through Job's words here, in Job chapter 38, the Lord responded to Job out of a violent storm. The Lord said, who is this who spreads darkness over my plans with his ignorant words? Get ready for action like a man. Then I'll ask you questions and you will inform me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you understand anything about it. Speak up, Job. Who do you think you are? Raise your hand if you've never complained about God or to God about something going on in your life. The reality is that we all complain and are frustrated because things don't seem to go according to our plan, our timetable, our choosing. So it's not unique to have Job complain about God and about his plan in life. The unique thing is that God came in a storm and spoke to God personally and to Job personally and said some wonderful things to help him understand that God is still in control. I find myself blaming God for my past sins, blaming God for my current behavior, blaming God for my acts of rebellion against him and his word. I find myself blaming God for all kinds of things. And I recognize that I am willing to say to my God, God, who do you think you are? Why are you bringing all this hardship on me? When I pray to you, Lord, you ought to answer me right away. Not according to your timetable, but according to mine. Lord, where are you? Do you even exist? And the Lord reacts with a thunderous word, who do you think you are? I'm the creator, you're my creature. Get ready for action, then I'll ask you questions and you will inform me. Now, sisters and brothers, I realize we may not be so arrogant to say those things on a regular basis. But isn't there times when we find ourselves thinking, I've got this all mapped out in my life? This is how I'm planning my life. This is how I plan to invest wisely in my life. This is how I'm going to have an early retirement, enjoy life, be merry and happy. And you forget two key words, Lord willing. Lord willing, those things will happen to you, but they're not guaranteed, are they? As the Apostle James points out to us in one of his words, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into this or that city, spend a year there, do business, and make a profit. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? Indeed, it is a mist that appears for a little while and then disappears. Instead, it is better for you to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or that. It's tempting to complain about life. The government takes too many of our dollars in our way of taxes away from us. It's easy to complain that the job that we have is not going anywhere, that we're not succeeding like the way we had hoped. It's easy for us to say to ourselves that this doesn't seem to be fair. And God reminds us, Lord willing, these things will happen. Lord willing, we will be blessed by our God. Lord willing, we'll enjoy many pleasures from his right hand. So I need to face the reality of who I am. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner through and through. I constantly rebel against my God, my thoughts, my words, and my actions as we daily confess. I question God's wisdom. I question God's plan. What I deserve from God is what he says in his word, the wages of sin is death. I deserve eternal separation from God for all eternity. That's what I deserve because of who I am, sinful and unclean. And then God does something wonderful. God showers me with his grace. He lifts me up with his Spirit to bring me into his family of faith through the power of baptism. By the grace of God, I've been baptized into the Christian faith. Perhaps when you were really young, you don't even remember it happening, but it happened because your parents show you the certificate that it actually happened. You have a record in your church history that you were baptized in the Christian faith. You were brought into the family of God because of the grace of God. You are now a child of God. That is who you are. As we hear these words from Jesus, from our God, we notice that God did some wonderful things. Our Lord God, as you heard in the one lesson for today, calmed the storm with his powerful word. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He performed miracle after miracle to show his great power and might. But even greater than that love that he showed to those people then on the pages of scripture that we have today, greater than that love is something even better than a sinking boat, better than a voice from a loud storm. Something greater than a beautiful sunset or the depths of the Grand Canyon, something greater than that is the love of our God as he demonstrated in his grace when he went to the cross. On that cross, you saved your blood and died for my sins. I know many of you who are here today hear that often, and we tend to maybe think it's not that great of a deal because we hear it so often, but it's an important, valuable truth that we need to hear because there are many of people who don't even know what that word means, the cross. They're desperately heading in the wrong direction, hell. By God's grace, you have the cross of Christ in your heart. You have the truth to know that you have been raised from your sins, your sins have been buried in the tomb, and you are part of the resurrected family of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You are a child of God. That's who you are. And as you come forward to receive the Lord's Supper today, remember what you're receiving. Bread and wine together with the body and blood of Christ. God's great love is being poured out for you. You're going to drink and taste and eat the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of all your sins. That is what you're receiving in that gift of the Lord's Supper today. Who do you think you are? God asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand anything about it. Who determined its dimensions? I'm sure you know. Who stretched out the surveying line over it? What supports its foundation? Who set its cornerstone in place when the morning stars sang loud songs together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Who locked up the sea behind doors when it burst out of the womb? When I clothed the sea with clouds, when I wrapped it with thick darkness as its swaddling clothes, when I broke its power with my decree, when I locked it up behind barred double doors, I said, you may come this far, but no farther. Here's the barrier for your proud ways. The implication is that Job and you and me don't really know as much as we think we know. But you know something that's truly amazing? Something that we can answer the question, where were you when you laid the foundations of the earth? The Bible tells us. Before the creation of the world, God chose us to be part of his unique family of believers. That is amazing grace. That God chose us before those 6 days of creation, when he rested on the seventh day. As the Apostle Paul reminds us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He did this when he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, so that we would be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. He did this in accordance with the good purpose of his will, and for the praise of his glorious grace, which he has graciously given to us in the one he loves. Who do you think you are? You are a child of God. It's amazing to me that I can complain about all the bad things that happened in my life, and I look at what happened at the cross. That wasn't fair. He did not deserve that. The perfect Son of God and Savior of the world did not deserve to condemn himself to hell. But that was God's perfect plan. That's what the Son of God deserved, because God the Father looked at his Son and said, you are a sinner through and through. You deserve eternal damnation. You must die. And so Jesus died on Good Friday to bear the brunt of the sins of the whole world. That doesn't seem fair at the time. It didn't seem fair to the disciples. But on Easter morning, when Jesus rose, he announced in hell the victory that he had accomplished what he had come out to do. Though it didn't seem fair at the time, it certainly was fair because the payment had been made complete. All the sins had been washed clean, erased from God's memory book, and now, in faith, we receive the gift of the resurrected Christ. Now we are washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Now we are God's people of faith. And there are people who are watching us on TV right now, or later in the day, or later in the week. They maybe have never heard that message before. They need to hear it, because the Lord is coming back on one great and glorious day, and everyone needs to be prepared to meet him so he can open up his loving arms and bring them into his family of faith and give them heaven. Who do you think you are? Well, look what God has done for you. He's rescued you. He's adopted you into his family. You are a child of God. You're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen.